Grandmother's Favorite, a Milton Falls Quilting Story by Frances O'Rourke Dow. Part 1. Natalie Grangerfield Shires had three daughters, two of whom had been married at First Presbyterian in the last 5 years. Beautiful weddings that Natalie had planned, choreographed, and directed. She'd made sure that Grace and Hannah believed they were in charge, of course, but that was easy enough to do. Both girls had always been what one might call malleable, easily influenced. It didn't hurt that Natalie was a successful interior designer and widely recognized as one of Milton Falls' most fashionable women. Even during their difficult teenage years, Grace and Hannah had asked for their mother's advice on clothes, accessories, bedroom decor, and hairstyles. So had all their friends, for that matter. Her youngest daughter, Maggie, was a different story altogether. An original thinker is how Natalie's husband, Mark, described her, and Natalie supposed that was one way of putting it. Irritatingly idiosyncratic was another way, as was too independent for her own good. When she was feeling especially generous, Natalie referred to Maggie as artistic, which was true enough. All through high school, she'd embellished t-shirts and journals, made little magazines, she called zines, and bought all of her clothes secondhand and refashioned them, though never into anything Natalie would actually call fashionable. In college, Maggie wrote poems that were published in literary magazines with names like Mudlark and Po' Boy Review. She'd also taken up quilting, which Natalie had let pass without comment. But when Maggie announced that she and Ellis were finally getting married and that members of her quilt guild would be in charge of wedding decorations, Natalie put her foot down. Well, she'd waited a few hours to put her foot down. She didn't want to spoil the joy of the moment. But she'd made her position clear the following day when she and Maggie met for lunch at Parsnip, Natalie's favorite downtown restaurant. "It's bad enough that you're getting married in a barn," she told Maggie, wishing that for once her daughter would listen to reason. "But a barn decorated with quilts? I just don't see it." "Mom, one day you're going to have to explain to me your deep dislike of anything having to do with quilts and quilt making," Maggie said as she handed her menu back to the waiter. "I've never understood it. You come from a famous quilting family. Your grandmother and great aunt were the Fonts and Porter of their time. The Jenny Doan and Pat Sloan, the Victoria Finley Wolfe and..." Natalie held up a hand. "Enough. Stop. I'm well aware of my heritage, and deeply uninterested in it, I might add. You have no idea what a burden it's been. Absolutely no idea." "It's sad," Maggie said, shaking her head, "to be descended from these creative, amazing women and to not care." "I care about them," Natalie corrected her. "But their quilts? Quilts in general? Those dusty, fusty artifacts? I was drowning in them growing up. If you enjoy making them, more power to you, my dear. But don't expect me to be enthusiastic about it. What I'm enthusiastic about is helping you plan your wedding. At least let me do the flowers." "I don't want flowers like the ones at Hannah's wedding." Maggie paused to take a sip of her wine. "In fact, what I'd like is wildflowers, preferably picked a few hours before the ceremony." "I can tell you from years of experience that you don't want to leave anything until a few hours before the ceremony," Natalie said, keeping her voice light. "Yours can be the most casual, ad hoc wedding in the world, and you'll still feel frantic from the minute you wake up on your wedding day until the moment you walk down the aisle." "I won't be walking down the aisle," Maggie said, "so there's that." Will you be parachuting in? Natalie smiled at her daughter as though she found her ideas completely charming. Like the queen at the Olympics? Maggie laughed. That would be awesome. But no, when it's time for the ceremony to begin, I'll be standing at the front of the barn. Or is it the back of the barn? Either way, I'll be standing with Ellis. I'm not going to be delivered to him like I'm some prize he's won. Natalie had a sudden image of 7-year-old Maggie waving a blue ribbon as she ran down the sidewalk. I won the poster contest, her daughter had exclaimed, throwing herself into her mother's arms. Mrs. Esser says I'm her number one artist. She'd smelled like honeysuckle blossoms and tempera paint, and her unruly hair circled her face in a halo of curls. Oh, her little wild child, such a sweet, funny girl. Natalie sighed, remembering, and then reached across the table to touch her daughter's hand. You are a prize. I hope Ellis knows that. Thanks, Mom, Maggie said, sitting back in her seat, sounding unsure how to take the compliment. Don't sound so surprised, Natalie admonished. You know I think you're marvelous. Different, maybe. A touch odd, but marvelous all the same. There we go, Maggie said with a laugh, as though Natalie had just delivered a punchline to an old joke. That's the mom I know and love. A moment of silence stretched between them, which Natalie broke by tapping on her phone and extending it toward her daughter. Here are some pictures from Morgan Moylan's Instagram feed, so you can see her floral arrangements. They're not the least bit stiff. Maggie took the phone and began scrolling through the photos. These are nice, Mom. Really nice. Okay, yeah, sure. I can be in charge of the flowers? Natalie tried to keep the excitement out of her voice. She didn't want to startle the girl into reneging. I mean, Morgan will be in charge, but... Maggie nodded. The job is yours. Now, I need to ask you a favor. A favor? Something about the tone of her daughter's voice made Natalie suspicious. What kind of favor? One that I'm pretty sure you're not going to like, Maggie replied, laughing. Well, Natalie thought more than once over the following weeks, Maggie had certainly been right about that. Natalie Shires, I never expected to see you here. Did you ever reply to my email about serving on the board? I know it was a lot to hope for, given the way you feel about... Mimi Pressler shrugged and gave Natalie an uncomfortable smile. You know... Believe me, I wouldn't be here if my father hadn't donated all of Grandmother's quilts to your collection, Natalie said briskly as she set her bag on Mimi's desk. Something I just learned about this morning, I might add. Did he tell you about the exhibit we've planned for the fall? Mimi's eyes brightened. The Emmeline Grangerfield Quilts, 1934 through 1954. We expect tour buses filled with quilters to arrive from across the state the minute the exhibit opens. Maybe even from across the country. Natalie took a seat and then leaned toward the director of the Milton Falls Quilt Museum, as though she were about to share a secret. I'm afraid I'm going to need some of those quilts on September 5th for my daughter's wedding. I'm referring specifically to the farmer's wife quilts, not the ones that appeared in the Quilter's Home Companion around the same time. Much to my dismay, Maggie's getting married in a barn. Not unlike a farmer's wife, I suppose. Mimi paled. The exhibit opens on August 31st. All the quilts your grandmother sewed for her farmer's wife column will be on display then. Strictly speaking, those are my quilts, Natalie informed her. Grandmother left them to me. Yeah, yes, but you... Mimi didn't seem to know how to continue, as if Natalie's crime were too shameful to say out loud. She lowered her voice to a whisper.
According to your father, you didn't want them.
I only left them with Daddy for safekeeping, Natalie corrected her. He really wasn't in a position to gift them to you. I told him as much this morning.
How is your father?
Mimi smiled warmly as though hoping to steer the conversation into friendlier territory.
I've heard the new apartments at the retirement community are just gorgeous. I know he misses your mother, but I bet he's well taken care of over there.
My father has always been easy to please and eager to please. Natalie arched a well-shaped eyebrow. The same cannot be said of me. Suddenly, Mimi was all business.
Let me look something up, she said, turning to her computer and tapping on the keyboard. We might be able to work something out. If memory serves...
She paused, gazing at her screen.
Yes, here we are.
Turning back to Natalie, she said,
According to my notes, your grandmother's quilts from her years as a columnist for The Farmer's Wife were divided between yourself and your cousin Darla. Darla won't loan hers because she's worried about their exposure to sunlight and sticky fingers. Apparently, she had an unpleasant experience with another venue a few years back, and we weren't able to convince her that here at the Milton Falls Quilt Museum, quilts are handled and hung by professionals and exhibited behind rope barriers.
But perhaps you could. She'd only have to loan them to us during the time that the quilts you're requesting are otherwise occupied. Well played, Mimi Pressler, Natalie thought as she left the museum a few minutes later. Well played indeed. Natalie slipped behind the wheel of her Lexus and took out her phone. Are you home? She texted her cousin. Would love to stop by for a second. I want to see how retirement is treating you. A moment later, a thumbs up emoji appeared. The little symbol was a bit like Darla, Natalie thought as she pulled into traffic. Direct, efficient, and lacking any sort of personal style. Her cousin was driven by three passions, she liked to say. Her family, her business, and her quilt making. Standing in front of the Rotary Club or the League of Women Voters, she'd tell her audience, which invariably was filled with women who wanted to know the secret of Darla's success as chief executive officer of Grangerfield Risk Management and Insurance. I have six suits of the same cut and color, I've had the same hairstyle for 20 years, and I eat the same thing for lunch every day. I save my creative energy for the things that give my life meaning. Blah, 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 Natalie thought as she turned onto Center Street. The secret of Darla's success was inheriting a thriving business from their grandfather. Which was not to say Darla hadn't done an outstanding job of growing that business. Credit where credit was due and all that. No one doubted that she was a brilliant woman. But there was a difference between hitting a home run and being born on third base. As for Darla's success as a quilter, hard work, yes. But in a way, her skills were also a gift, this one from their grandmother. While both Darla and Natalie had sat at their grandmother's proverbial knee as children, where they absorbed lesson after lesson on how to make marvelous quilts, only Darla turned out to have the knack for quilt making. Natalie certainly had her grandmother's talent for fashionable stylings, whether putting together a beautiful room, a beautiful outfit, or a beautiful vase of flowers. She intuitively understood balance, line, and contrast. Why those things had never carried over into her quilts, she had no idea. She'd tried hard enough, spent hours as a girl reading the few how-to books available at the time, even took a class or two at the community center in junior high. But she never seemed to get the hang of it, no matter how badly she wanted to please her grandmother. Fortunately, Grandmother Emmeline had loved clothes almost as much as she loved quilts. So over time, that became their shared passion, the thing they discussed over tea while Darla stitched away at her latest creation. Still, it was a bitter pill for Natalie to swallow, knowing that she could never make her grandmother a quilt, no matter how desperately she wanted to. In the final reckoning, Darla, with her cathedral windows and drunkard's paths, would always be grandmother's favorite. Eventually, the bitterness ate away at any affection Natalie might have had for quilts, any sort of appreciation. It was as though one day she woke up and decided she really didn't care for quilts at all, and couldn't understand why other people did. End of part one. Tune in next week for part two of Grandmother's Favorite. Thanks for joining us on the Quilt Fiction Story Guild podcast, a production of Milton Falls Media, Incorporated, all rights reserved. Until next time, this is Frances O'Rourke Dow. Thank you for joining us.